Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Let the punishment be the crime. The footprints on the sand of time. The philosophy of the boy's rhyme. Make a man humble in his prime.
You can go up, down, or sideways. Be on death row, counting the days.
Let the punishment fit the crime. Sang the Ramones, and today on the Brian Lehrer Show, when do you punish someone to bring about a desired behavior? And when do you offer a reward? Why does the United States punish criminals more harshly than other democracies? What is punishment for? To deter bad behavior? For deserved retribution, whether it changes behavior or not? For the sake of making the punishers feel better or have a good time? Ever been to a public execution? When should we punish our kids? Our partners, ourselves, and how? Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, it's a family meeting on punishment. We have some great guests coming up, including the Chief Judge of New York State, Jonathan Lippman, who wants to stop sentencing 16-year-olds like adults. And let's begin by telling some stories of punishments you got as a kid that you'll never forget. If you have a story of punishment you got as a kid that you've never forgotten as a grown-up, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And what I'm hoping for here is a variety of punishments that parents give their kids through some of your stories. We've been collecting them from people we know to get this going and from you on Facebook, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Someone wrote, "My mother once washed my brother's mouth out with soap. But I think my mom came out the loser because my brother tells the story often to illustrate how ridiculous things got back in the day. Maybe the mom in that story, I would say, saw the movie A Christmas Story one too many times."
Over the years, I got to be quite a connoisseur of soap. My personal preference is for Lux, but I found Palmolive had a nice piquant after-dinner flavor, heady, but with just a touch of mellow smoothness. Life Boy, on the other hand.
Poor Ralphie, Gene Shepard from A Christmas Story. Anyone else out there with a cartoon punishment like that, washing your mouth out with soap? And how did it work out for anyone? 212-433-WNYC. Here's an interesting one. Somebody wrote, "In high school, I got caught drinking. My parents were really mad, but sort of just gave me withering looks and told me I disappointed them. And I remember my sister saying she couldn't believe they didn't punish me and that I got away with it. But I really didn't feel like I got away with it because they talked about how disappointed they were with me for weeks afterwards. And inside, I felt terrible, to be honest." And isn't that interesting? The parents' disappointment itself was punishment enough, I guess. I wonder if that depends on the relationship between the parent and teenager. Who else has one? Tell us a story of punishment you got as a kid that you've never forgotten as a grown-up. And I wonder if there are differences on this from country to country, too, or working class to upper class, or from religion to religion. Any immigrants want to call in on this? Here's one on Facebook from Rich, a Korean-American, who writes, "I had the good old-fashioned Korean punishment where you have to stand in the corner with both of your arms raised." Anyone else have that? Or what was the country of methods punishment for kids that's the equivalent of that Korean one, standing in the corner with your arms raised, from your country? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What punishment did you get as a kid that you've never forgotten as an adult? Here's a story, I think, from Chris in Westchester. Chris, you're on WNYC. Hello.
It's your shakuhachi playing listener that I've called in many, many times. You probably remember me.
How's your flute?
Yeah, I am playing every day. I just landed a gig at the Philadelphia Museum of Art on the shakuhachi. I'm pretty excited.
Nice. So what happened to you as a kid?
Okay, so I got beat. You know, I know these days my wife and I don't have children, but if we did, we would not hit them. It's been proven you shouldn't hit your kids. But I got beat all the time with a wooden spoon as a kid, and sometimes I'd get a smack in the face. But this one time, I was about six or seven, I was throwing rocks over our garage window, and one of them broke the window. I didn't make it over the garage. It broke the window, and I didn't tell my parents. And the next day, I was two houses up playing with my friend. My father calls me down, and I get to the driveway, and I knew I was in trouble. He picks me up by the wrist, and he beat the living snot out of me with a hard rubber hose. I mean, he wailed on me. Like, today, he would be arrested for child abuse.
So did it have an effect on you? Did it work to stop some unwanted behavior?
No, I always misbehaved. I was kind of a bad kid growing up. I mean, I turned out fine now. You know, I'm a responsible, self-employed musician with a wife and a house and two car payments like everybody else, you know. But, yeah, I was a pretty wild kid through my teenage years. And they really, you know, once I became a teenager, they basically stopped punishing me. I mean, I got grounded once or twice.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically they gave up on punishing me because they were very lax, uninvolved parents, I have to say.
Well, did the punishment increase the legitimacy of your parents' authority in your eyes, or decrease it, or not affect it?
It didn't really affect it. I mean, I just kind of, I was the kind of kid who just did what I wanted to, and that was that, you know. But that, it's just that one beating, you know. This beating has come up in conversation with my wife many times over the years. Just one of those things that you never forget because it was so severe. And again, if it happened in this day and age, and another parent on the block saw it and called it in, he'd be arrested.
Yeah. Chris, thank you very much. Things changed, and that may be one of the themes of the show as we go along here. Dan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how you doing? When I was about, I guess, 9 or 10 years old, I probably spoke back to my mom, and she kicked me out of the house for the whole day, or what seemed like the whole day, and I basically sat out on the porch, walked around, went to the local donut shop, and then that's it. And then she let me back in at the end of the day.
So that's a punishment, kicking you out of the house. How old did you say you were?
Probably like 9, 10.
So you were too young to run away.
Yeah, I was too young to run away, but I was pretty independent. I went to like this donut shop and got myself a bagel or something, and yeah, I went back home after that.
Did it work to deter any particular behavior for the future?
Probably. I probably didn't talk back so quickly. But, yeah, I think so, definitely.
I wonder if parents would be slower to do that with older kids, with teenagers, because they're afraid they actually wouldn't come back.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it also depends on the child, you know, what kind of, like, a rebellious child, which I was not. Or, you know, it really depends on their character.
Yeah. And it's the opposite of the timeout, right? Go to your room. Stay in your room.
That's right.
Leave the house. Dan, thank you. Interesting story. Anyone else have that? 212-433-WNYC or post to our Facebook page at facebook.com/BrianLehrerWNYC. What punishment did you get as a child that you've never forgotten as we begin our family meeting on punishment today, both in the criminal justice system and in our personal lives? John in Oakland, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thank you. What happened?
So, well, my story is actually not a punishment my parents gave me, but it's from Catholic school. I was a hyperactive kid, so I was always in a little bit of trouble. And my worst punishment, aside from being paddled every other week, was they removed my desk from my classroom, away from all the students, away from all the teachers. They put my desk in the principal's office with a stack of books and paper, no teacher, no lunch, no recess, and I was like, you know, seven or eight at the time. And it was like 2 weeks before they put me back in the classroom. Actually, after 2 weeks, my parents found out that they did this to me and removed me from the school.
Wow, it's like kid solitary confinement from 9 to 3.
Yeah, it's really something that bothered me for the rest of my life. It was that was probably the worst thing that ever happened to me as a kid.
Bothered you how? What effect do you think it's had on you?
Well, I was very solitary in high school. I didn't give in to being taught by other people. I ended up learning on my own and teaching myself because of it. Because I just felt like I couldn't depend on a teacher to teach me anything. So the rest of my life, I basically taught myself everything that I know today. And
so
now I work in the medical field.
Now you work in the medical field.
Yeah.
It really. It sounds like it backfired from the standpoint of what they were trying to accomplish.
Absolutely. Yeah. It totally backfired.
thank you very much.
They didn't beat me.
John,
you're
thanks
welcome.
A lot. Christian in Westport, you're on WNYC. Hi, Christian.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I was talking to your rep there about my mother was from El Salvador. I grew up in Brazil, actually. And one time she ordered a really fancy hand-making device. You know, it had these aluminum rods. It was really complicated. You know, as being a kid, I played with it when she wasn't home, and I broke it in half, and I hit it. And when she did find it, she grabbed these aluminum rods, and she beat me and my brother for it. And actually, my brother wasn't even at fault, but I didn't feel so bad because, you know, having an older brother, he harassed me so much, I guess I felt he deserved it. But I like to say this, you know, my mother loved me, my father loved me, and even with, you know, the occasional harsh punishment, we never felt it was undeserved.
Do you feel that that punishment, since that instance was memorable to you, that it changed you in some way, changed your behavior or anything?
Yeah, I think it probably taught me not to mess with things that don't belong to me. So I think a lesson learned.
Would you ever, I don't know if you have kids, would you ever do the same to your kids?
I do have a daughter, but I would never punish her that harshly. Truth be told, my mother had some depression problems, so it probably made it the punishment worse. But I do think people need to be very careful to know there's a distinction between corporal punishment and abuse, and it's not the same thing, meaning you can physically punish with love and without being abusive or in any way hurtful. And that's something that a lot of people have forgotten, I think.
Christian, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. It's our family meeting on punishment on The Brian Lehrer Show today, starting out with your stories of how you were punished as a child that you've never forgotten. We'll get into all kinds of questions of punishment in the criminal justice system and in our personal lives as we go here today. And Julie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Brian.
So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, or a small town right outside of Nashville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Great experience growing up in the South. But my mother used to take me everywhere with her. I had an older sister, and she was quite busy with her. And so she would take me with her to the grocery store, department store, and I had a tendency to run away from her all the time. And she would get mad at me and pinch my arm. But one day, she was just had it, and she let me get lost for 2 hours in a department store.
Let you get lost, meaning she actually knew where you were, but she let you think you were lost?
That's right. That's right. So it was terrifying. I didn't know what to do. I was crying, and she had just had it. She had reached that point, and I never forgot that, and I never left her side again anytime we went to the store.
So looking back on it, was it too much?
Was it too much? Good question. I don't think so at the time. And granted, we didn't live in a big city, so I think that there were minimal risks to what could have happened to me, especially based on the size of the store. But I don't think so. I think I was a terrible four-year-old, and that's what I needed. And
4 years old. Oh, I didn't even register that you were 4 years old. And she left you in that much psychological terror for so long.
She did. She did, but it definitely worked, and I have to say I probably haven't left her side since I was 4 years old. So
I don't know if that's cruelty or if it takes just an incredible amount of strength on the part of a parent to –
because
she was suffering. Right, and she had to be suffering knowing that you were suffering, being so afraid if she was really kind of gaming out what you were experiencing there.
Right.
How long can you let your child go through that kind of fear, even if you think you're – setting her up for greater good? I mean, that takes some steel gut on the part of the mom.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. That was her.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Charles in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Charles.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. What's your story?
Okay, so for a brief period in the I was born in the late 50s, and for a brief period in the early 70s, my father and older brother and myself moved to Spain. This was during the years of Francisco Franco was still alive. And I was fairly new in public school back then, which in Madrid, which was run by Jesuit priests, the public school was. And I remember going, we had an appointment to get a haircut, and I was late because I was probably goofing off or hanging out with friends. And when I got there, sat down in the barber's chair, my father asked the barber to shave my head, which he did.
The barber shaved your head.
Correct.
You got shaved bald as a punishment when you were 12.
Exactly.
So did this work to deter future lateness? This was for being late, right?
Well, this was for being late to the the hair cutting appointment. No, it did not work. Interestingly enough, I then became probably the most interesting or coolest kid in my high school class because I was the one with the shaved head, and I wore a Moroccan skull cap that I had bought previously on a vacation.
So you're the one who started it.
I'm the one who started it.
Because that was long enough ago. That was before the bald look was in. Well, you know what you should have done? You should have gotten out and gotten a mohawk wig.
I don't think they had them available at that time in Francisco Franco, Spain.
Would you do it to your kid?
Never. Never in a million years. And I've had two kids that are now in college or going into college, and we never disciplined them in any harsh of a manner whatsoever. And they've turned out to be fantastic kids.
I have to say, it sounds like you survived the experience, but that one sounds bizarre to me. Charles, thank you very much. Douglas on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. What punishment do you remember?
In 1981, I think I was 15 at the time. Whatever I did, I don't remember, but I'm sure it was stupid. I was not allowed to go to a Rolling Stones concert at Madison Square Garden.
No music for you. No rock and roll.
Yes. And then to show you how well I learned my lesson, the following year, I did something stupid again, and I was not allowed to go to the Simon and Garfunkel concert in Central Park.
Uh-huh. No folk music for you. That's really a punishment. You really have to be bad to get docked from folk music. So But what did you do? I mean, did you remember what precipitated these punishments?
I do not. All I could tell you was I was a rotten child growing up, and I'm quite certain I deserved whatever punishments that were given to me.
Wow. That's pretty heavy for having missed the Rolling Stones. Would you do that to your kid, dock them from whatever concert they want to go to?
I certainly would. If they did what I did, which, again, I don't remember, but I'm sure I did something stupid. If they did something stupid, they should be punished. And
there's a man with humility, Douglas on Staten Island. I don't know what I did, but whatever it was, it must have been bad, and I deserved it. Douglas, thank you very much. And Sharon in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How were you punished?
I was a slob when I was a kid, and constantly inveterate slob, and it drove my parents crazy.
Usually the boys' territory.
Yes, but I was, kind of a tomboy, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And it made them so crazy that finally they resorted to confiscating my things. So they would basically come in with the parental equivalent of a backhoe and scrape up whatever was on the floor and dump it in those large brown paper bags that were the grocery bags.
Oh,
then,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Staple them shut and then label the date. And depending upon the infraction, it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, sometimes even a month later.
Oh, they confiscated the stuff.
Confiscated. So there was like a little inventory in the attic sort of lined up about, the date, the due dates when I would get my stuff back. And because I was, in fact, such a slob, I didn't really keep very good track of it. And one time, the thing that was confiscated was my left shoe. And
whoa.
I had, my school shoes and my sneakers. That was it. And so I don't know what happened, but I guess I grew and whatever. The next year came. 30 years later, when we were clearing out my parents' house in the attic, I found a paper bag that was still stapled, and it said Sharon's, and I won't use the word, but it begins with an S and ends with a T.
No kidding.
And it had the date. And I opened it up, and there was my left shoe. And I was like, oh, my God,
oh
I
my
wondered
God.
Forever.
And you've walked with a limp ever since.
And, now I'm a parent, and I was today, literally, before I heard the subject of your call, I was sitting down to write up the parental penal code for my house to get the kids to, understand the consequences so that the punishment does fit the crime.
And would you do the same thing?
I'm toying with it. I am toying with it.
There is a risk. I'll tell you, Sharon, I've done a version of this, not nearly as extreme as your parents, but if, my messy kid leaves stuff in the common area and doesn't clean it up after being asked repeated times, then it's, if you don't clean it up your way, I'm going to clean it up my way.
Yeah.
But that basically means going in a bin in his room, and then he's got to sort it out.
Right.
But, of course, the risk of locking the stuff away as you know, I can attest from experience as to what's in those slush piles, is some of it's homework.
Yes. Well, I think you have to have a homework, you know,
oh,
exception.
Separate. Yeah, it's homework exception, which means the parents have to go through it.
Sometimes there's a, you know, preservation of the flesh factor, like when there's Legos involved. You know, stepping on that is not fun for anyone.
Great story, Sharon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And those are some of your personal punishment stories. We'll talk next about the criminal justice system with the Chief Judge of New York State, Jonathan Lippman, who thinks there is one group in particular who we punish too much. It's our family meeting on punishment on The Brian Lehrer Show.